This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
3, 2, 1.
And now, Sci-Fi for Me presents Sonia Rodriguez.
I'm in the middle of an interrogation. This moron is giving me everything.
Jason Hunt.
No. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos. We're a time bomb.
This is Sci-Fi XY.
That's what makes it so awesome. I think the only reason why I'd want to reboot was because to see him do it now. But you can't. Don't mess with it. Get new actors, get everything else, and do it all over again. Just don't touch the first one.
We are talking about The Last Starfighter. Here on Sci-Fi XY, Sonia Rodriguez there giving me an opinion on why you cannot just replace the old special effects shots with new CG effects and put the leave everything else intact.
No.
You don't think it would work?
No, because the time that it came out, that stuff was groundbreaking.
Yep.
It'd never been seen before. So it's like an antique. Now, some people will argue that when you own something that's antique, like in furniture, when you own it, it belongs to you.
Yeah.
You should be able to do whatever you want to it.
Right.
And it, you know, yeah, you may.
Well, with the original Star Trek, they replaced, you know, they did all the remastering and replaced all of the special effects shots with CG stuff. And
Star Trek did that
too? The original series, yeah. The original series.
Oh, okay. I didn't know they did that.
Yeah. So you can get either.
Right.
You know, you can have them with the original effects or you can get the new ones.
They cater to both sides of the argument.
Right. And for the most part, it looks okay. Yeah. I mean, there's some places where it's a little dodgy and you sit there and you go, well, why did they even bother replacing, because that, huh? Yeah. Okay.
No, but, I wouldn't touch The Last Starfighter because of the fact that at the time that was groundbreaking stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to mess with that stuff because it's like history. It's like, this is what we could do at this time.
Well, it's like Tron. Movie. You can never go back and do Tron, the first one, over again. I mean, I think it was very smart. You did a sequel with Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a shame we're not going to get Tron 3.
Did you like it when George Lucas went back and changed all the Star Wars stuff and added all, you know, Jabba the Hutt walking across? That bothered me. I don't know.
There were a couple of points in there that I thought, well, that's kind of unnecessary. There was some stuff that I thought was kind of cool. Because at the time, it hadn't been done. I mean,
right.
You don't have all of the stuff. And I thought, some of this stuff, you don't really need to replace.
It was a lot.
You're doing it just to do it.
Yeah, it was fluff. Yeah. It was a little bit of fluff for me. And I didn't like it. I mean, I liked it. It was like, oh, that's kind of cool that they did that. But it took away from, that's not the movie I watched when I was little.
Right. And
those are the people, and they're the right age.
You know, there's a, an unaltered version online.
Nice.
That even it doesn't have episode 4.
I was going to say,
it doesn't even have the episode. I mean, it says Star Wars and then the roll up starts. There's no chapter or anything. It's a project that has been going on for a long time. It's called the Unadulterated Star Wars. And it is
pretty good. Yeah, because there was a time there that you couldn't find them anymore unless you had the VHS.
Right, and I still do.
Yay.
Letterbox.
Yeah. You know, if you didn't have that VHS, then that was it. It was like George Lucas wanted to just forget he ever made that first movie, and he wanted them all destroyed or something.
Well, according to him at the time, that was, you know, the excuse was when he made the films to start with, the technology didn't exist to do what he really wanted to do with them, and
that's hard to argue with.
That holds water because Industrial Light and Magic was built from scratch,
right.
And all of the because all of the visual effects houses and stuff at the studios had all been dismantled. Nobody was doing visual effects anymore, you know, because they were all doing crime stories, you know, things like the Seven Ups and you know, French Connection and stuff, Drugstore Cowboy. Nobody was doing anything with special effects.
Yes,
anymore.
Right.
So you had to build it up from the ground, start all over from square one. And that argument holds up to a certain extent. But then when he goes back and says, you know, I wasn't able to do the movie that I wanted to do. Oh, okay. you can give us a special edition, you know, because we're used to having director's cuts. You know, right. It's the same kind of thing. It's a director's cut.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fine. You know, Star Trek the Motion Picture is another example of that, because right. when it was made, it was released in theaters unfinished. There was stuff, because there was such a rush, because there was a hard release date. December of 1979, that movie comes out, come hell or high water, and some of the prints that theaters got were still wet with the developer chemical.
Oh my gosh.
They were delivered, like, they were done and handed and load them up and start running them. But they were never finished. They never did a final sound mix. They never did a final pass on the special effects. Some of the visual effects were never finished. You know, the music mix wasn't complete. The opening titles, you know, just the white text on the cards, and they just popped and stuff. That was just a placeholder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they never got to finish it. And then, you know, you did this big digital restoration here a few years ago, where you get the definitive director's cut, where they actually got to finish the movie. And here it is, you know, 20, 30 years after the fact. You know, all of the V'ger effects and all of the everything that they couldn't finish the first time.
But that was more of a literally they didn't finish.
Right.
Whereas, I mean, at the time
with Lucas, Lucas
was finished.
Yeah, it was as finished as it could be given the limits of the technology.
Right. Exactly.
Right. And I can understand, you know, doing a special edition. You want to do a director's cut. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many versions of Blade Runner are out there? At least three. And, you know, nowadays it's not unusual to get more than one version of a film.
Well, you get these directors that are not—they're never done tweaking.
Right.
They're going to tweak it and tweak it, and they're always going to look at their product and say,
"Yeah, I could have done something different." Yeah.
And now I can. I'm just going to go ahead and fix that right now.
Well, and that's a lot of people are hoping that we get that with Avengers 2 when it comes out on DVD, that we get the entire thing that Joss Whedon originally cut together, because, you know, it's 3.5-4-hour movie.
Yeah, it's really choppy. Yeah. It was a good movie, but it was choppy.
It's all right.
It's enjoyable.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of those where you can start to see the stretch marks a little bit on the Marvel mm-hmm. shared universe, when you have studios coming in and saying, this has to tie in and this has to tie in.
Well,
and this
they
has
have
to tie
like
in.
How many stories?
A lot.
How many stories are there? I mean, literally, someone needs to count them up.
Well, for the solo films, you've got Iron Man. Those are done right now.
Right.
You've got Captain America has got solo films. You've got Guardians of the Galaxy,
right.
Got their own. Thor,
mm-hmm.
Black Panther's going to have solo film. Captain Marvel's going to have solo film. Doctor Strange, Ant-Man,
and that comes in with
and
what,
then
the production
all
company.
Feed
yeah,
into
the production company coming in saying you have to have all this in there because we got money.
This has to lead to this. To have to lead to this.
Because all this is based on the money we've got to make in the future.
Right.
Because it's all about the money we're gonna make.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what drives some of this stuff with the remakes and the reboots, because, you know, even if you're going back and doing a restoration and you're just replacing the effect shots like Lucas did with Star Wars. Or
now,
you look
was
at
that
Star
a restoration,
Trek.
Though? I wouldn't call that.
Well, because they did a digital restoration of the existing prints.
Okay, I can understand when they do
a mixed in all the new stuff.
See,
so
that, I wouldn't call that a restoration, though. If you're going to fix
it, was both.
Okay.
Because, you know, you restore the movie.
Yeah.
And then you go back and add the new visual effects.
See, anytime you add things on, it's not a restoration anymore.
It's a combination of the two.
Okay.
Because you have to restore the original in order to match it with the new stuff. Which a lot of people are sitting there thinking, the original cut is somewhere in a vault 90% restored. It's just the pieces that got replaced that need to be restored.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you can put it all back out there. And I think we got a news that Disney put them all out on digital.
Right.
Digital download, which has people really, really, really hoping that at some point very soon, maybe right before Force Awakens comes out, that we'll get Blu-rays that'll have the original trilogy in their original form.
Are we holding our breath?
as much money and influence and power as Disney has, I would say that it's possible. I don't know how likely it is. There's a big difference.
Because then you're dealing with a specific audience.
Well, it's mostly a rights thing. Because 20th Century Fox owns the distribution rights to the first movie in perpetuity forever, unless Disney buys it. Because the rest of the movies were made by Lucasfilm. So Lucasfilm owns the rights to all of those. But Star Wars, you know, the first movie, 20th Century Fox has the distribution rights to that one. So in order for Disney, who now owns Lucasfilm, in order for Disney to do any kind of distribution of all six films, they'll have to make a deal with 20th Century Fox for the first one. So they have to spend a gob of money for that first one.
Oh, and Disney's so broke, they would never spend the money.
Oh, I know. Wait, what? Oh, they made $1 billion with Marvel? Okay, never mind. They're good.
They're okay.
Yeah, they're doing all right this year. But I think that's one of the big hurdles. But the fact that we got digital copies of all six of them from Disney has people think it. They're working on it. They have to be working on it. You know, because there's many people that want it.
There's so much time that has passed that people want. Yeah, let's see what the I want to see what I saw.
The historical significance alone. But if you do search online the unadulterated Star Wars, it is there are a number of people who have gone through all of the different versions that are out there.
You know, because I don't even think my sons have seen the movie I saw.
Yeah, mine has. I found it and we downloaded it, and there it is. This
and
is,
my sons have not. They've seen the George Lucas's fixers.
Episode 4.
Episode 4. Yes.
And even the VHS copies that I've got of the original trilogy that's not special edition, those have Episode 4, A New Hope, on the beginning of the first one. And because that was put on when sometime between 78, late 77, early 78, and midway through they re-released Star Wars prior to The Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
Because The Empire Strikes Back has always said Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back. Somewhere in there, retroactively, they changed the roll up so it said Episode 4, A New Hope. So from at that point forward, it was Episode 4.
Yeah.
But when it first came out in 1977, it was Star Wars.
Right.
And that's how I've always called it. I don't call it A New Hope. I call it Star Wars.
Yeah, I never call it that. Whenever I see that, I'm like, what is that?
Yeah. It's like the Indiana Jones movies. Mm-hmm. The first Indiana Jones movie was Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right.
It didn't become Indiana Jones and until the second one, Temple of Doom. Right. And then you had Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And when they re-released all the stuff in a big combo pack, then it became Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. But that's not that movie. That's not what that movie's called. But retroactively changing films. I guess you could do that to a certain extent, but you lose something.
Yeah.
And you could do that with The Last Starfighter.
No.
But you'd lose and
not with what it had. The fact that it was groundbreaking.
There is a certain amount of charm to it.
It makes it what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you watch that movie and, well, you look at how Atari, what they did, that you can buy the Atari system now, and it has all the games loaded up. And
we've got one of those.
Yeah, it's all awesome. And, my kids play those games, and I just look at those graphics, and it's like, no, you can't change it. It's got to stay that way. Space Invaders has to be played
exactly
with those
that's
graphics.
That's right. That's right. We have one of those. It's the joystick that's got it all loaded in. But then, you know, you play on that one, you're like, it's not the same. It's not the same without the 2600 console.
Well, we have the console ones. Yeah, we have the console because we did have the joystick one, and then, like, the following Christmas, my boys got the console.
Right.
And the console has the games all loaded up, and then the joysticks come out of it, and they're the real joysticks.
I have somewhere in my mother's garage, we think, We haven't found it yet. The search is on because the last time I was down in Dallas for Fan Expo mm-hmm. here a few weeks ago, and I was talking to my mom about it and visiting over there, and said, you know, I really want to find this because we had seen the documentary about the E.T. game cartridges that
oh, yeah.
got buried in New Mexico. It's called Game Over. I recommend it. Zach Penn made it. And it basically tells the story, not just of the E.T. game cartridge, but the story of the rise and fall of Atari.
Mm.
And by extension, the whole video game industry at that point, because it was all Atari at that point.
Right, you know, yeah.
Atari was just huge. And mm-hmm. then E.T. came out, and the basically the bottom fell out of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people blame that game, but historically, it was just not a bad game. But yeah. it got blamed because of what happened, as you know, in the aftermath of that game coming out and not selling very well.
Right.
Suddenly, everything was a disaster.
What came after Atari? What was the Sega?
Well, you had Sega. You Sega had
and then Nintendo 64.
Game Boy. You Is remember? It yeah. No, Nintendo. Nintendo. The Game Boy was first, and then Nintendo 64, I think.
Okay.
Those of you who are video gamers, you can correct me. I'm yes. sure if I'm wrong, because that's been
I thought
known
the 64 came out before the Game Boy.
No, Game Boy was out first, okay. I think. I think Game Boy and Nintendo, the 2600, the 5200, and Game Boy, I think, were the first ones. But it got me thinking, I wonder where that 2600 went. I had an Atari 2600, mm-hmm. and my video gaming stuff never went beyond that. But...
Oh, yeah. I played Space Invaders.
Mm-hmm.
I played Pac-Man and Miss Pac-Man. And then I played the one with, I think, Centipede.
Centipede, yeah.
And I think that was the last video games that I ever played.
I played Asteroids.
Oh, Asteroids, yes.
Missile Command, Space Invaders. what was the other one? Pitfall.
Yeah.
Which was the Activision's Indiana Jones ripoff. I played E.T.
I played the one with the pink thing. Qbert. Qbert. Okay, yeah. That's, I think that's the last video game I played because, I'm so old, it gave me motion sickness and then I couldn't play video games anymore.
Really?
Well, I played Pole Position.
Yeah. Pole Position was an easy one because you just yeah. drive in the car. Mm-hmm. That was fun to do in the arcade.
Yeah.
I played Star Wars in the arcade. I still want to get a stand-up cabinet of the original Star Wars. The wireframe game.
Yeah.
I found one once on eBay.
I don't know any grown-up man that doesn't want a stand-up video game.
I want the
in their garage or basement or
well, and
living room.
I want that specific game. I want that Star Wars video game because I played that for gobs of time. Hours on it. But yeah, the graphics and the special effects and all that, that's one of the reasons why I think Pixels is going to do pretty well
yeah.
when it comes out. Even though the story looks a little hokum.
Yeah.
But the graphics, you're going to sit there and go, I remember that game.
Well,
Donkey Kong.
Minecraft.
Minecraft is the same
kind
of thing.
So
yeah.
into, well, it's kind of dying now with my children, but they were so into Minecraft. And you look at those graphics, I'm like,
mm-hmm.
this is like 80s. Graphics. Why are they so into this game?
It's the 8-bit stuff. it does well, and I think
it's
part of that
blown
is the retro.
Up. Yeah. I mean, the kids are all. It's all about Minecraft. Minecraft this. Minecraft that. I mean, my son. Anytime he would use his computer time, his play computer time, he'd just sit there and watch Minecraft videos on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
He'd watch people play Minecraft on
yeah.
YouTube.
Well, there's a whole Twitch.tv.
Yeah,
all about people watching. You know, we're watching. I watch you play your video game.
Right. So that's why I think okay. Well, if you've got this whole generation of people that are doing the 8-bit, mm-hmm. you know, and they want these
the
things.
Retro style.
Yeah, the retro style. I don't think it's gonna fly to go back and change all our retro movies that have that digital.
So we just do a restoration of The Last Starfighter as it is.
Yeah.
We do the sequel with the same kind of graphics. Why not?
Well,
you could still do a little bit.
No. I would like, I could probably deal with a reboot of The Last Starfighter. I think I would want to see a reboot with the current capabilities, some fresh new actor.
I mean, see, I wouldn't want to do a reboot.
See, I don't. I think I would want to, But don't touch the beginning. Don't touch the front. Don't touch the original. Don't go back and try to fix all that.
The problem with doing a reboot is the video game culture has completely changed from then to now. Yeah.
The story probably wouldn't.
Well, the way you would have to do it, we had talked about it, the way you would have to do it would be instead of using a stand-up arcade game as the recruiting tool, you'd have to use a massive multiplayer online.
Yeah.
And find a team. Mm-hmm. See, and that's how you do it. But see,
that would be good.
That would be your sequel.
Yes.
Because you have, whether it's Greg or Matt, Alex comes back to, and uses the multiplayer online stuff to recruit a new team because the bad guys are back. And now we have to, our new starfighters are so advanced that you can't just have two people in the Gunstar anymore. The Gunstars have to have a crew of 5 or a crew of 12 or whatever, and it becomes that's how you do a sequel, because the game technology has advanced so much.
Right.
Nobody plays on a stand-up arcade game anymore. Right, it's the thing of the past. Right, now there are arcades that are popping up across the country, but it's all they're going for the nostalgia factor more than anything
else. They're going into playing into the fact that, oh, come on, kids, this is how I used to play video games.
Exactly. Well, and you're getting people our age going in there and dropping quarters in these things, and it's just like before. Well, and the second Tron movie played into that as well,
right?
Because you walk in, and when Sam comes into Flynn's for the first time, and you see all of those arcade games covered in plastic.
Yeah.
And you remember what that place looked like in the first movie.
I couldn't get into the second Tron movie. It's just I watched it, but it was just
Well, we sent watch it. And like, well, because it's the first of two.
Okay.
And because you have certain things that have to be set up and established. You had to do... Tron Legacy was one of those rare movies that had to do its own world building in addition to being a sequel. Because the rest of the movie, you look at Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. By the time you get to Empire, you don't have to do any world building.
Right.
Everybody knows where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And Tron Legacy, as much time as has passed since the first movie, you had to do some exposition and world building, and because the special effects have all changed and everything's new, all this stuff.
I wasn't willing to wait. Well, I did, but
yeah. But I think you're right. I think with Last Starfighter, I think you've got to do a sequel. I don't think you can do a reboot. But I think that with the original one, you don't do anything to the special effects. You don't do anything to the visual effects.
And the only reason why I say that is because at the time, that was groundbreaking.
Yep.
It was groundbreaking stuff.
It was.
So it was like, I remember when the movie came out, all these articles were written about it, that this has never been done before, and this has never been seen before. And
well, they were using, Tron was using a Cray computer back then. I mean, it was a huge thing, a massive amount of data that goes through just to make these effects work.
Right.
And Last Starfighter was the same way, because up until then it's all models. Models. And of course now we've got The Force Awakens is using models again.
Yeah, it's funny because they did this whole thing where we're doing all this stuff with CGI and CGI and CGI. Mm. And then you get them coming around. I saw that interview, like, we just built a model. I'm like,
yeah.
Isn't that what used to be done?
Well, and I think there's something to be said about the old school stuff. But I saw an article, and I didn't read it. I just was looking at the headline, that CG has gotten to a point where now it doesn't look good anymore.
Right, because it looks too...
It's overcooked.
Okay, I know you haven't seen the movie, but it's Jupiter Ascending.
Mm-hmm.
It became unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. No, I'm not going to get it. It's beautiful. But it became unbelievable.
Yeah, it was visually, so it's just overwhelming.
Much, yeah. And you're just there and you're watching it and all this stuff is happening. Things are suspended in air and mm-hmm. he's moving faster than the speed of light. Yeah. You know, he's just moving too fast to even believe that he can move that fast, and still it's just too unbelievable.
Yeah, you get outside the realm of what's acceptable to an audience.
Right. Acceptable to your own mind. Right. And it's cool. I mean, the whole time I'm thinking, oh wow, that's cool. But it's like, oh my gosh, that can't happen.
I think that's one of the reasons people had a problem with Speed Racer.
Yeah.
Because
it's too,
besides the story being terrible.
Yeah.
But visual effects were very impressive.
Yeah.
For what they were, but it was overdone. It was too over the top. I get what the Wachowskis were doing, but it was too much.
Right.
And I think you run into the temptation to do that kind of thing again. Well, it's like Lucas with the restored, you know, with the special edition. You got to add stuff to it and do things to it. It's like, no, leave this alone. This is fine. Yeah. You don't have to change this. You don't have to do anything to this. You know, if you want to add some stuff, okay, but you don't have to change what's already there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things you run into, you know, that temptation to do things different just because you can doesn't necessarily mean you should.
Right. And then, well, you get these directors and special effects people saying, well, we're building the models and we're going to blow up the model and we've made it this size and this size and this size. It's like, that's how it used to be done.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons why people are so encouraged, even with J.J. Abrams being in charge of Force Awakens, the fact that Kathleen Kennedy is in charge of Lucasfilm. They're doing it old school. And yes, okay, it's fine. You can do some CG. Do a mix.
You're right.
And,
yes.
You know, find
do
the
a
balance,
mix.
Do
you
that.
Just said that.
But the fact that they're even, that even one shot would have a model in it,
mm-hmm.
everybody just went, it's going to be so good.
Yeah.
You know, and okay, fine. You know, the trailers and the stuff, the teasers that we've seen so far, they look really good. Whether they're the CG or not, it does look like they're paying attention to the look.
Mm-hmm.
They're paying attention to the look and feel of the CG, so it's not too much. And that's encouraging to see.
Yeah, I remember with the prequels, I just remember that they were just so pretty.
What prequels?
The prequels to...
What?
The movies.
What are you talking about?
Oh, you don't like those movies. They were pretty movies.
Oh yeah, they're very pretty. And I saw a thing, a very interesting essay on basically got speculation that George Lucas used ring theory on those six films. It's a fascinating article. I'll have to send you a link because it's very interesting way of looking at all six films that almost redeems the prequels for me.
Mm.
Almost. They're still...
Are
they're
we
still
not supposed to call them the
acted.
Prequels? It's
no,
like
they're prequels.
One, two, three.
But you have fans that don't want to say that the prequels even exist. That's the gag.
Yeah.
It's like, prequels? What are you talking about? Oh, that was an awesome Star Wars movie!
There was a...
Are there any more?
I should send you that picture. There is one. I have it on my Pinterest. It says, Episode 4 is first. It's just good parenting.
Yes.
Have you seen that t-shirt?
I have seen that.
It's awesome.
Episode 4. Well, and you know, you have people doing the machete order where you have, you watch 4, 5, you know, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back,
mm-hmm.
and then 2, 3, and then 6. Because that way, after he reveals that he's Luke Skywalker's father. Then you have a giant 4-hour flashback.
Okay, so
and then you come back to Return of the Jedi.
Four. Say
so
again.
you do Star Wars.
Four.
Episode Star Wars: Empire Strikes Back, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, Return of the Jedi.
Okay, you're just gonna forget about the whole first one.
Well, the machete order just does away with that one. Phantom Menace.
How convenient.
Phantom Menace doesn't do anything as far as story for anything else. Although this Ring Theory essay says that it's crucial to the whole structure of everything. And it's really, really interesting read. We'll have to. I think we're going to talk about it on a future episode of Echo Chamber.
Okay.
To get a group dialogue going about it, because it's a fascinating essay. And it
to change your mind about the prequel. Wow.
Well, I said almost.
Almost.
It almost redeems the prequels. They're still crap, but from a story construction standpoint, I've never heard of the Ring Theory, but. It works. This analysis actually makes this whole thing work as one solid piece. The whole Star Wars saga that we currently have, it makes a certain amount of sense.
Okay.
So, we'll see. I don't know. If we make a certain amount of sense, or if we don't, you can let us know by leaving us a comment, or send us an email, scifixy@scififorme.com. That little bell you heard means that we're run out of time. One less spin of the wheel, Pat. Yes, you can share your thoughts. You can also find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Tumblr, Google+. And that's going to do it for us this episode. We will be back with another episode of Sci-Fi XY. My name is Jason Hunt.
I'm Sonia Rodriguez.
And we will be back soon.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.